I'm tipping Italy and England.
It's still on.
It's either coming home or it's time to say goodbye. We'll see.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast and download the OTB Sports app.
I just want to point everybody in the direction of the Euros Daily Show with Shane Hannan. It's broadcast live every day from 11 o'clock. And over the course of the entire campaign, myself and Shane and Nathan have been locked in a battle which was very one-sided, I'm not going to lie. Shane got out to an early lead in terms of the predictions. I went a bit wild and crazy in the group stage, just having a bit of crack. But the old dog for the hard road. Here, is this yesterday's predictions? What's it? 20 Italy versus Spain draw. I didn't say draw. I said 1-1 draw, Italy to win on penalties. Oh,
wow.
I got the whole
thing.
You
get extra
points? 100% correct.
Do you get extra points for that?
Well, I got the score correct after 90 minutes. I got the score correct after extra time. I got the score correct after penalties.
It's impressive.
That should be 3 points, right?
Yeah, I know. Like, I mean,
you're the quiz master.
Kildare under 20s, now this. Well, 12 hours it has been for you.
I mean, obviously don't want to ruin it by making a prediction for tonight's game, but like...
Give us your prediction then.
Well, Jordan Pickford error. But maybe even to survive.
1-0 Denmark?
No, I don't know. I think it's going to work. Phil, good morning to you.
Morning. Sure, I'll be looking for the lotto numbers off you after after the show. But I'm pretty sure as well you would have predicted Morata would miss his penalty.
I mean, I at that stage, I kind of wanted Spain to win because they played so well. And poor Morata, like death threats and the crisis of confidence that he's endured to get dropped. And then the goal that he scored was so brilliant. And then, oh... Like, it wasn't Kylian Mbappe, it's just had a bad tournament.
No, it was, do you know what, the goal was brilliant, and to do it against Chiellini and Bonucci, who Morata obviously knows really well. He'd talked about what it was like to train against Chiellini, trying to survive in a cage with a gorilla and trying to take food off the gorilla. But Morata got some food last night, and then you were thinking, right, Spain are in the driving seat to go on and win this. But at no point did I think he was going to score that penalty. And it's just, he's missed penalties before. Spain haven't had a great record of penalties. But you often think, should somebody just have a word with him and say, look, love your confidence. You get knocked down, you get back up again. But maybe you shouldn't take one of the 5 penalties.
Did you see Jorginho shouting at his goalkeeper to tell him where Morata was going to go with it? Like, I mean, Jorginho obviously... probably have keeping a close eye on Morata's penalties down through the years. I'm giving him credit basically for Donnarumma saving it.
Yeah, well, we saw earlier in the tournament, isn't it, Pepe had a go at Patricio because he didn't guess right for a penalty. So when someone shouts at you which way to go, you're probably best off going that way. And then if you get it wrong, blame him. But look, I was looking at the penalty shootout from the Argentina-Colombia game last night, and Emi Martinez doesn't need any of that. All 3 of his penalty saves came on the same side. So
Arsenal obviously has a much better goalkeeper than him, though. There's no way that Emi Martinez would have been a better decision by Arsenal to keep him. Under no circumstances are we, as a show, suggesting that. Yes, we are.
The great thing, though, is that Arsenal is so bad that a goalkeeper could not change their fortunes. That, like, the Yerry Mina save penalty from Emi Martinez, there's obviously a bit of yapping going on. On one side, so like somebody on Twitter has at Socratic Juan has translated it, and Emiliano to Mina before saving the penalty. You're nervous, eh? I can tell you're nervous. I know where you're going to shoot. Watch and see how I'm going to eat you up. And eat him up he did, and then gives it the big hip thrust as a celebration. It's amazing. Like, even if Emi Martinez is crap, I would want him back at Arsenal right now for that sort of stuff.
You can't have him. I know.
Emi Martinez is, I don't know, he will do something even bigger in his career over the next little while.
No, he's going to qualify for the Champions League. That'll be his moment. Or maybe they'll win a league Leicester style. Who knows? These things can happen.
He could be the man that helps Messi get that elusive Copa America, and then he's in the circle of trust with Messi for life.
Barcelona?
Shut up, Owen. Messi doesn't even play for Barcelona at the moment.
Well, true.
Maybe he's going to come to Villa. Maybe that's what happens.
Barca can't buy players, really, though, can they?
No.
No, I'm sure they could find some way at some point with some weird swap deals, but maybe Villa don't want their cast offs. We got sidetracked there. I do want one last point before it is actually a sidetrack point as well. watching the game, particularly in the first half and the second half, and before extra time where everybody got a bit tired, that game was Champions League quality. That game was as good a game of football in terms of the technical proficiency, the tactical acumen of the managers, the tactical acumen of the players, their ability to, off the cuff, just do different things as any football match I've seen. And I would put that up there with the Champions League semi-finals, where we were like, oh, sports watching really works, because look at the quality of football. It's mesmerising. The quality of the football last night was absolutely mesmerising.
Yeah, absolutely. No coincidence as well, though. You mentioned the two managers, two successful club managers. And it just shows that if you have a really good manager at international level, the difference it can make. And I felt, obviously, going into the game, the questions about Italy were, what would they be like when they were tested against one of the big boys? And obviously, they passed that against Belgium. Last night was different. They really had to dig in because Spain owned the ball. And Spain will do that to any team, but Italy kind of reverted back to the Italy we're more accustomed to, where they can sit in and we know they enjoy defending and they pick their moments. They actually came on strong, I thought, in the second period of extra time. And you thought maybe they might be able to push for a winner. But I felt watching the game in terms of, I was trying to think ahead of tonight's game, I would be leaning towards England winning. I was thinking, who would England rather play? Would it be Italy or Spain? I think they would have rather played Spain. Even though Spain would have the majority of possession, England could get at them in terms of set pieces. Laporte doesn't look comfortable, that ball down the side. And Unai Simon certainly didn't look comfortable at times. And I think Italy will really fancy it now, regardless of who they play. They've got that really good run, that unbeaten run they're going on. They've got Mancini, and there's just a great spirit in the camp. And yeah, I think it's going to be hard to stop the Italians, regardless of who they play.
Just to labour the point one last time, the we've been told so often that the Champions League is the best football you're ever going to see because they can buy the best players and put them all in the best teams, and I totally accept that. But international football was supposed to be much further behind. That's not the case anymore. That's certainly not the case at the moment.
No, in certain games, I don't think tonight's game would be on the same level. But if you look at the players that were on the pitch last night, how many of them are playing Champions League football on a regular basis? The majority of them are. Obviously, there's a few unsung heroes in the Italian squad, which would be with less traditional clubs. But, the big guns on the pitch last night, they play Champions League football. The two managers, one of them has won the Champions League. So it's no surprise to see that. We, as good as this tournament has been, we have seen a few dud games and more limited managers and limited teams. But, yeah, I think that anyone that's kind of gives out about international football when there might be a break for qualifiers, you just have to think back to major tournaments. This is what it's all for. So, you might have a bad qualifier or a bad international break, but just think of the end game. Just think of what's in store a few years down the line. And I just think it's been a great tournament. Maybe it's the fact that we've been starved of football with an atmosphere and a meaning and a purpose, that it's just really been lit up by the atmosphere at these grounds. We mentioned there, obviously, the Copa America. Brazil and Argentina are going to play this weekend with no fans. It's just not the same.
No.
And it's all about the scarcity of it as well, Phil. Like, it's all a quote yesterday from Christian Prudhomme, who's the race director of the Tour de France, and they're going up Mont Ventoux today, and he says that Mont Ventoux is legendary for everyone who loves cycling, but it shouldn't be tasted too often. It has to make itself desired and stay special. Its rarity only accentuates the legend. And that's the same for a major football tournament. Like, yeah, I'm not having any of this Arsene Wenger every second year nonsense.
No, I was going to say, if you could have a word at Arsene Wenger, because the more often we get it, then we just become accustomed to it and used to it. But yeah, and the fact as well, we've obviously had to wait 5 years for this Euros, and was obviously called off last summer, so we've had to wait that little bit longer, but it really has delivered. And, there's still two games left. I think, as I said, I don't think tonight's game will be as good, just given the fact that the teams involved are not as good as the teams that were involved last night, but the final could be good. Because I think Italy will have a go at whoever they play. I think Italy, as I said, I don't think it was a choice that they wanted to play the way they did last night. I think that's just the way they had to play, because Spain are just that good.
Spain were brilliant. Like
Pedri, my God, like 18 years of age. We've talked about him before on the show. Graham Hunter's talked about him in glowing terms, and people mightn't have seen that much of him, but anyone that watched him last night or over the last few games, this kid is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, really ballsy. And like, I'd like to see what Ansu Fati would have done if he'd been fit as well, because there's talk that he's just as good. And look, the injury obviously is depriving us. But like, that last few seasons of Messi, assuming he stays at Barcelona, is going to be pretty remarkable, because they've managed to rebuild. They will be rebuilding around him on the back of this kid, who seems like is absolutely sensational. Quick question. Should Mancini drop Immobile for the final?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't impressed with him last night. Wasn't impressed with him against Belgium. I thought at times against Belgium, he took on shots when it wasn't there and he got smothered and should have just passed it off. It's a tough one, because if you drop him, then what does that do to him? Maybe you get the Morata reaction where he's on the bench and you bring him on and he's full of fire. And if you keep him in there and he scores, then you're justified and vindicated for saying it. Keeping faith, which something Gareth Southgate has done with Harry Kane, where people were talking about him earlier in the tournament saying maybe Harry Kane isn't fit for this, but you stick with them and then they repay that faith that you show in them. But it's a final, it's a one-off game. I would be leaning towards maybe take him out of the team. He's just not up to it at the moment.
Okay, big call. Mancini makes those big calls though, and we'll see. What about tonight's team? Who is Gareth Southgate going to pick from the array of riches that he's had, that he's juggled very well so far, but now it's really shit or bust time? What's it going to do?
I don't see how he's going to change from the back four. Now, there is some talk that he might go back three, because obviously Denmark play back three. Now, Denmark have shown they're quite accustomed to be able to change that during the game. I think back to the Wales game where Ramsey was getting too much space and Christensen just was pushed into midfield, and that just changed the whole setup. But if he does go with the 4-2-3-1, Gareth Southgate, that is, then I can't see why he would make a change to the back four. Obviously, his two in midfield. And then it's basically, does he stick with Sancho? So Sterling plays, Kane plays. Does he stick with Sancho? Does he bring in someone like Jack Grealish and move Sterling over to the right-hand side? Bukayo Saka is available again. I thought Saka was worth his place for the Germany game, but probably didn't do enough to retain it. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the one call maybe he has to make. Now, he could throw in a surprise and change one of the midfielders, but I'd be very surprised with that. I think, look, we know how England are going to play. If they get the first goal, it's very hard to see them being beat.
Is there a possibility he picks Jordan Henderson to get the game time into him, with an eye on a potential final if they make it there?
I don't think he's thought like that at all throughout this tournament. I think that was proven in the last round, where we knew England were going to beat Ukraine, but he kept faith with the two holding midfielders, even though they were both on yellow cards. So I don't think Southgate, I think he really has taken it one game at a time, and as much as he wants to, he'd love to dream of the final. Can't do it just yet, because Denmark are they're ranked 10th in the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, before the tournament, a lot of people have picked them as a dark horse because they just have a really strong spine to their team. Obviously, Eriksen was crucial to that. We know what happened in the game against Finland. We saw the reaction it got in the first half against Belgium. But then that performance against Russia just gave them the confidence. And I just think it's going to be a real slog tonight. You know, the fact that it's a semi-final, it's an occasion. I don't think anyone tuning in can expect what we saw last night, but it's still going to be a fascinating game because I think there's a chance to reach a final.
I think the tension could be every bit as high as last night because of what's at stake. And you know what's at stake. We know what's at stake. Like, it's football getting home. I mean,
yeah, it's on the way home. It just needs to jump in the bus and just take those final couple of stops.
But well, it needs to make sure that it stops off and pays due deference to whatever funeral is in the town, just in case there's a curse. What does this mean for Mayo, Phil, if they win?
I don't know. Yeah. Nathan Murphy's your man there. He usually has the backup stats of the correlation of what it wins.
There are two big ones though, Phil, aren't they? England winning a major tournament and Mayo winning the All-Ireland. So I'm sure Nathan will tell you it's 1951 rather than 1966 when England actually won the World Cup, if you actually check your facts.
Right, give me your prediction, Phil.
I think England are going to win. I think I wouldn't be surprised if they get it done in the 90 minutes. Just won't be pretty, but they get it done. And then if it's Italy, England, I think Italy will beat England at the time.
Okay, right. Right. I mean,
I think I'll go along with that, yeah.
Okay, all right. Feel good stuff. Thanks a million. Enjoy the game.